Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Again.
Celebrate James Harden. Oh, yeah. Doom, dan, doop, doop, doom, doom, doom. Celebrate James Harden. Doom, dan, doom, 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 doom. Celebrate y'all. James Harden is a six.
What a day for the
welcome
tidbit.
To the party, Mr. Joseph DeMar. Oh, what a glorious
way for the tickets. Oh, dude, you've got to be over the moon.
I mean, this is the best day I've had in a long day. This is the best day I've had since I broke the news that James Harden was coming to Philly a year and a half ago. Okay?
Oh, it. Tell people what's happening. What's going on? He's frozen solid. He's in a state of euphoria that he cannot. Ticket Zoom has frozen. He is beyond happy.
I'm back. So what was your question? I'm elated. I'm on cloud fucking nine. Did you ask
tell
me
people
something?
What happened? Because this and we can't make this up. We're getting ready for the pod, and literally like 40 minutes before I get a notification on my phone, and I'm not even a Sixers fan, but for anybody who knows how much the ticket loves the Sixers and how just devastated he was with this Ben Simmons, just nightmare saga. I mean, I saw the trade went through, James Harden to the Sixers. I did a double take. I had to do a double take, and I saw James Harden, Paul Millsap to the Sixers for Seth Curry, Ben Simmons, and then Drummond with two future firsts, and I just immediately just bombarded Tickets Fall. Immediately, because I hadn't heard from him, and I was like, I need to be the person to break this news to him. And my God, what a happy, elated young man we have over there on the other side of the mic.
Listen, I was already having a tremendous day, One of the best days I've had in a long time, you know.
Soak it all in.
They say when it rains, it pours. That's for damn sure. But when the sun is shining, boy, am I getting a sunburn. Okay? I am burning in the sun, baby. It is
fantastic.
Throw
on your Maui gyms and just enjoy it.
I picked up this little rocking chair today. I'm moving into a new apartment here in Charleston.
Wow.
And I was coming out of a great meeting, and I come out and I have a text message from Joseph. I actually missed a call from him. I had to mute it. And I was like, what the fuck does this guy want? I'm talking to him in half an hour. What the fuck could he possibly want? And then I get the news. The news that James Harden is, in fact, a Philadelphia 76er. I mean, we've been waiting for this. We took a golf trip about a year and a half ago, and I had a buddy reach out to me who's got a very reliable source. He's very, very good. But he's so good, he was early. He was so early on the news that a year and a half ago, we heard James Harden is becoming a Sixer. And I stopped playing golf at that point. I took the next 18 holes off, and I was celebrating in the bunkers. I was sitting watching everyone putt. I was just elated. And James Harden was going to be a Sixer. All of a sudden, he wasn't. He became a Net, and so on and so forth. But a year and a half later, here. And not only is he here, we traded the biggest piece of garbage to ever set foot in this league for James Harden.
I mean, well, that's the beauty of it, too, is not just you get one of the best players in the league, but you literally took out the trash and you came back with like a golden fucking orb that you know you can just sit around and just enjoy. And what I said to you, Ticket, I think that this is such a better fit for Harden, because if you look at him over the last, you know, year or so, he's had to change his game. And kudos, by the way, to Harden, because he's really become a facilitator. He's really become a passer. He's become a playmaker. And it's taken away from his scoring. His threes are down. His shooting is down. And I think now having such a big presence down low with Embiid, you're going to have Harden being able to kick the ball off to him, but now he's going to be able to sit back and start draining those three balls again, like we saw him in Houston. And I think that's really the beauty of his game. When he can get those step backs, when he can get the mid-range jumper going, then he can start facilitating. He can drive the lane. He can really be a scorer of the basketball again, because he doesn't have to distribute to seven different mouths to feed between Kyrie and fucking KD. These guys are pieces of shit. And now he can just focus on basketball. I love it. I absolutely love it. You get a guy who brings a lot of veteran savviness in Paul Millsap. Yes, we said he's long in the tooth, but the guy can play basketball. And you said the biggest part, you get to keep Maxey, which is your biggest building block moving forward.
Well, that's exactly right. Congratulations. That's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head there. Almost every trade that was involving Ben Simmons, obviously, he was our big piece to move. Also included Tyrese Maxey. Now, if you guys don't know who this kid is, he's setting the world on fire. We drafted him from Kentucky a couple years ago. He was a rookie last year, and he's just been everything we need. Smile on his face, doing whatever the team needs, great at passing, can score a little bit. And we didn't want to give him up, but we thought we're going to get something. Yep. The fact that we kept him and got rid of Steph Curry and Andre Drummond instead, and included a few first round picks, and kept Maxey. And now we still have Embiid, of course, and we're bringing in James Harden. I mean, we've always lacked the three ball, and that's exactly what we're getting. We're getting
a little bit on it from Seth Curry, but
fuck him. Who gives a fuck? I love Steph Curry. I love him. I really, really do. He was a great piece for us. But we're talking about James Harden here. Now, fuck him. Fuck him.
I mean, Ticket, you've got to be elated with this GM of yours. I mean,
Daryl Morey. I mean, he's been sucking James Harden's cock ever since he became a GM over there in Houston. I mean, thank God we got him, because, boy, could we use a little star power. Star power.
You know, the crazy thing is, you always hear trade deadlines for the NFL this year. You thought, okay, there's going to be this big blockbuster. I know Von Miller went to the Rams. But, like, most years, like, the big, big blockbuster doesn't actually come to fruition. So you're kind of waiting to see something big happen, and it kind of falls short. I mean, this is a blockbuster trade. This is what, I think this is so great for the NBA too, if I'm being honest. The Nets have struggled. They've been bad. Now there's a new narrative. They got Simmons back over there. They're going to do whatever they want to do. And now the Sixers become a true powerhouse in the Eastern Conference. Ticket.
Yeah, when you called me.
When are you placing your future bet?
When you called me, I'll get to that in a minute. You hold your horses. When you called me about half an hour ago, I told you, I was like, this is great, obviously, for 76ers fans, but this has to, I mean, you can tell me as not a 76ers fan, but I think this is great for NBA fans. I mean, we've seen James Harden and KD play together before. We've seen them last year, but obviously way back when in OKC. But to see James Harden coming together with a guy like Embiid, who's always in the MVP race. I mean, we got two guys now who are always in the MVP race. He's just one of the best centers. Dare I say the best center in the game. I'll say it if no one else wants to. The best center in the game. I mean, that's just going to be the hottest ticket in town when it comes to watching Wednesday night basketball, Saturday night basketball. I mean, who else are you going to want to see? I mean, the Warriors and the fucking Sixers now. I mean, that's got to be the most fun team to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. I mean, again, I'm a 76ers fan, so it's going to be harder for me to discern. But I mean, who else would you rather watch right now, Joseph? I mean, as a guy who doesn't really have a horse in this race, who do you want to see more than the Sixers right now?
I don't know. I think they're a team that I definitely will be rooting for.
Yeah.
Moving forward. This is, I mean, there was a bunch of trades yesterday too. Sabonis went to the Kings.
Yeah, which poor was him.
A big move.
Poor him.
I mean, I don't get it. I really don't get it. Like, that to me, Halliburton is good.
Yeah, it was a great trade in my eyes for the Pacers. He is incredible. That kid, Tyrese Halliburton.
And that buddy guy, he's a good
Buddy
shooter.
Hield. Buddy Hield's a great shooter too. From Oklahoma. Yeah,
I think the Pacers definitely win on that because they still get to keep, you know, they had two big men already. And that, you know, but then I wake up and I'm watching, you know, and I'm like, I don't know if there's going to be any big deals. I still think Westbrook could get moved today, if I'm being honest. But I'm looking and all of a sudden that text came in and I was like, I waited a second to see if Ticket was going to message. And after a minute went by, I was like, he has not seen this yet. And I was like, I need to call him. By the way, big shout out to our guy, the Big Ticket, celebrating his birthday earlier this week. And shame on me, by the way, I forgot the day. That is absolutely just completely uncalled for from Cutsy. I thought it was this week. I completely botched it. But you know what? All is fair in love and war. Now Ticket is getting his just deserve. And the universe, I mean, pays him back tenfold.
Well, we're gonna
I mean, I'm so happy for the Ticket. I mean, I don't think like, and now.
No. You stop talking for a second because you're trying to gloss over. We'll get back to this. This future bet that I'm going to make. But while Cutsy's bringing up my birthday, you know, I'm not going to let you just get over this, you know. Guy completely forgot my birthday.
I mean, it's, you know, it's a
you
lot
know, we have another friend. We have another friend whose birthday is very close to mine. He's right before it. And, you know, we're talking about it leading up to it. We're getting him, you know, we're planning a present for him. And then my day comes and goes, comes and goes. And this
by the
is
way,
a
there
guy
has I something purchased for Ticket.
This is a guy I consider one of my best friends in the whole world.
Absolutely,
he's a brother
yeah.
to me. And he
yeah,
just
absolutely.
Lets the day come and go.
Listen, there's a lot of birthdays in this vicinity. Okay, Anthony, my brother, his birthday just happened.
I'll accept.
Showtime's birthday just happened. My other sister's birthday just. There's a lot of birthdays. Right. In a very small, now I take 100% blame. I just said that I came out and said it.
Right.
I, for some reason I thought it was a week after Showtime's, you know, so I didn't realize it was that close in succession. So shame on me. I take the blame. Now we got a gift for the Ticket. I don't think he's got it yet. That being said, there'll also be a big time gift because the Ticket, apparently there are sources saying that you might be making a West Coast trip sooner than later. So that will be paid in full as well. So lots to look forward to from the Ticket cap. But yes, you know what? That's a very bad look for Cutsy. I'm getting old. I'm getting a little old. A little gray hairs are sprouting out. A little long in the tooth. And the memory just is not what it used to be. I got to start putting these things down in my phone. Like,
yeah, you and Bob both forgot. And Bob felt like shit too. And then
to be honest,
like,
I forgot what day Bob's birthday was. I know it's in March. I thought it was the 12th. I look back, it's the 8th. So, I mean, I'm just all over the place here with the birthday. And I didn't even remember Showtime's birthday was the 2nd, in fact, because Sam messaged me a few days prior saying,
where did you send this gift, by the way? Do you know my address? I just moved.
Oh, there's a little gift coming to you today.
I know, but where did you send it? Because...
there's a little gift coming. I'm excited to see when it comes. I thought you would already received it right now. Bob and I talked about it, and it's hysterical. I mean, as soon as you get it on your phone, I think you're just going to be cracking up. But yeah, I mean, it's I'm shocked it hasn't come already, but it should be coming very shortly. And again, there's a big dinner for the Ticket's arrival back in the West Coast. Yeah. And then more, we will shower him with some more gifts. But yes, I will take the blame 100%. But, you know, today's too good of a day to be happy about.
It's true. And honestly, I got over it right away because I don't really give a shit about my birthday either. I really don't. But I was like, man, come on. You know,
I know it was
but
poor form. It
anyway, back to the Sixers. This is the best birthday present I possibly could have. And I just want to say there's no possible way I can forget Cutsy's birthday now because I just gave him a ton of shit. And
I'll be honest, if you don't remember the day, I really don't care. I don't get
yeah,
it.
To be honest,
I'm avoiding birthdays. I'm getting old. You know, this year I turned 36.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm moving too close to that number 40, Dick.
Yeah, but you still move like a 24-year-old. I mean, you really, yeah, this guy never sleeps. Anyway, I am placing a massive future bet on the Sixers to win. Now, of course, yesterday.
Well, what did the odds go to? I don't even know.
Odds would have been so much better. But fuck it. We didn't have James Harden yesterday. We're still going to be at least at plus. What do you think? What's your guess? What's your guess, Joseph, at where the line is right now? For the Sixers,
I have not looked. I would say plus 550.
Whoa, you think it's that low?
Plus 550, plus 700.
Wow. Well, I'm about to tell you here in a minute. And if it takes me too long.
I would say probably the Suns are got to be the favorite to win it all. They're probably like plus 400, I would say.
It's only giving me all the goddamn end of the year awards, like MVP, most improved, rookie of the year.
It's got to be better.
Whatever. It's got to be better than that.
Whatever it is, I don't think it really makes a difference. I think you're still going to hit it.
Even if it's plus 200, this is just a faith bet. This is a faith bet. There's nothing more. This is a faith.
I mean, well, Tiki, you haven't even seen him take one dribble with the team. I mean, you
do know. I need to? I know the kind of man he is. I know the kind of player he is.
I'd
and
like
he
to know.
And Doc Rivers are really going to gel well together.
I think so. Now, I want to know the live odds of Ticket buying a Harden jersey. I want to know, what is it at? Is it one of those things like he needs to win the championship before you buy? Or are you at the point where like you're all in, you're all on board? I'd love to see I've never seen you in a Sixers jersey in my entire life.
I only have Eagles jerseys. I've never had a, because I like sleeves. You know, I like sleeves. I don't like.
You wear a sleeve underneath and you put the jersey on top.
Yeah,
you wear
I kind of hate that look. Underneath. Maybe a sweatshirt. I think it looks stupid.
Or you just get ripped and shredded to shit. And then, come summertime, come June when they're in the finals, Ticket's got the gun show going on and he's got the jersey representing.
It's true. I've never had a Sixers jersey. Just not interested.
Really?
Just not interested. Really? Not interested. I mean, if I got one and it was signed, maybe I would frame it. I'm not interested in wearing a fucking... The Eagles is where it's at. And I did have a Pat Burrell Philadelphia Phillies jersey growing up. Pat the Bat. You might remember Pat the Bat.
But I'm shocked. Do you have any Sixers memorabilia?
No. Oh, memorabilia? I have a piece of the floor of...
Fuck when memorabilia. Give me the hardwood.
Julius Irving's 100-point game. I have a piece of the hardwood floor from that game.
How do you prove that it was from that game?
Because I got it from a game that I went to. They were handing it out because it was like the 50th anniversary or something. And I went to that game and I have a piece of the floor.
So it's certified. Wooden.
It's certified. Yeah, I got the ticket of authentication. You know, there was like 1,000 of them that they handed out. I don't know if it's worth anything. I just think it's cool that I have it.
I thought you literally took your dad might have taken a fucking hammer to the side of the hardwood on.
And I had a Lindros too. So I had the Flyers as well. I had everything besides the Sixers. I just hate a sleeveless jersey.
I don't mind the NBA jerseys. I don't mind. I'll wear it to the gym. I'll wear it like, I don't know. I like wearing the NBA jersey.
The only thing I'll accept is I like it over the hoodie. I think it's kind of cool over a hoodie.
Yeah, over the hoodie. That's definitely.
I'm just kind of worried about, I'll get too comfortable because I'm wearing the hoodie and then I'll eat something I shouldn't eat and I'll spill all over it. I'm a messy, it's ridiculous.
Terrible, terrible reasoning behind that.
I just don't give a shit, okay? All right. Well, do we want to put a bow on this? Is there anything we wanted to touch on? Any of the trades before we move on? Any of the trades? What do you, McCollum went to New Orleans.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what is Portland doing?
I don't know.
I thought they were going to like go for a rebuild, but they got Lillard still there. I don't know
They got nothing to.
They have not decided to go all in on this rebuild. Oh. And that's been the play for them for some time. I mean, I don't know. And then from the New Orleans side, by the way, is what's his name ever going to play basketball again?
No, he's not. Zion? You talking about Zion?
Is Zion ever going to play basketball? Like, what is going on there?
He's played like 70 games in the since he's been drafted. He's had the potential to play like 180. He's played 70 games. 71, 72 games.
He looked like he was going to be such a superstar, and he just has absolutely evaporated.
He looks like a chocolate pudding cup. Is what he looks like. He's like putting on weight left and right. What is he doing? No, I think he's got knee issues. Like every big man, he's got big fucking knee issues, and he's never playing, and he's not staying in shape. I think that's going to end up being a total bust.
I will say the Pelicans, they're not a terrible team, but
no, they stink. What are you talking about? They stink.
They got some talent. But I'm not saying this year. I'm saying like bringing McCollum in. I think they're trying to like build for the. I don't know. That trade made no sense to me.
Yeah, no,
on so many levels.
New Orleans is one of those teams that I think about similar to the Bobcats, or I guess they're the Hornets again. Who like make these weird moves, and it's like, did you get any better?
No, now
the Hornets finally are, but for so long they made so many weird moves. I'm like, is this getting better? Like, what are they thinking? It's like they just made themselves marginally better or worse, New Orleans did. And especially if Zion doesn't ever play, it's like McCollum, that poor guy, what a load of talent just gonna waste away. Similar to Beal in Washington for so long. It's like just talent going the way.
I don't know. The only thing I'd say left is I would like to see the Lakers try to deal Westbrook, because that's been a disaster. As a guy who supports the Lakers, it's been hard to watch them.
I don't know what you get for him. I really don't. I don't even think you get a third round pick. I mean, what do you get for that guy? Just a selfish guy whose scoring is going down. You know, the one thing he could do well is going south.
It's sad to see. But let's move on, Tick. Let's pioneer forward. We got the Super Bowl coming up.
But before we head on to the Super Bowl here, Cutsy, I want to make a comment on your top five list from Bob's podcast. Because you had something on your list that nobody else did that I want to commend you on. Because I thought it was such a smart pick. The jalapeno poppers, the top five list was for top five Super Bowl snacks. And Mr. Joseph DeMar here had a pick that nobody else had, the jalapeno popper. And that is such an elite vet play.
I'm so happy. And you know what? I got laughed during the podcast pick. They were laughing at me for it. They thought it was a bad pick.
No, I think that's wonderful.
I have never been in a place where the poppers come out, and sometimes they have the little dipping sauce, which even makes them better.
Believe it. Yeah.
But I've never seen people turn them down.
No. Nope.
There's just enough spice. They got that little filling in there that just, they're a great little bite-sized snack. I'm glad that you think so.
Because you get them hot, I mean, there's almost nothing better. I mean, I will say when they cool down, they're a little gross.
You got to bring them right out of the oven. And right on the table, and then right down the hatch.
Well, I wanted to tip my cap. I thought that was a very
astute play. I appreciate that. You know, too often I feel like I give good elite level picks on the top fives, and I think Bob's just looking to make a mockery on me, so he's quick to laugh.
Oh, he is. He's looking to laugh.
But by the way, I won the top five this week, so a lot of people agree with your poppers. You know, take they loved it. So I'm now tied with Bob for the most top fives in our rankings, and I look to overcome him this next week. I think there's no stopping me.
Oh, you will overcome him. That's what you do. You overcome. Now, let me run another option by you. What do you think about pigs in a blanket?
It's a great pick. It's an honorable mention. And by the way, my executive chef from Cut, I asked him for his top five. Pigs in a blanket were indeed listed in that top five.
Yes. I went to a Super Bowl party once a million years ago. It was the one where Katy Perry did it and the dancing sharks were all around. So I don't know, 8-9 years ago.
Oh, when she came in that giant lion or whatever.
Yeah. You know, that's the only thing I remember about that Super Bowl. I couldn't even tell you who played in it, but I can remember the dancing sharks and that stupid lion costume. But so I went with this girl I was dating to one of her friends' places for a Super Bowl party, and this chick brought out pigs in a blanket. And it completely, I was like, what? I was thinking in my head, I didn't make a big fuss about it at the party, but in the back of my head, I was thinking, that's a nice
Now I have a question. Did she bring condiments? Like, did you add the ketchup or a nice play with the pigs in the blanket? If you want to really be elite, is a little Dijon, grainy Dijon mustard.
That's exactly what it was. Stone ground with the seeds still in it. Mustard.
Yes, the Dijon mustard, but the grainy. They call it the grainy Dijon mustard.
Grainy with the seeds
in it. And it gives you a little pop, a little bite to that. That is exactly how you need to serve those little suckers.
We are on the same page with this, 100%. And now, moving on, I do want to get to one more thing before we start talking about the Super Bowl. There was a bit of a discrepancy in our group chat that happened yesterday. I was going to bring someone on, surprise you, and we were going to have a little conversation, but then this Ben Simmons thing happened. I had to scratch him. Maybe we'll bring him on another time. But Joseph, without seeing much footage or knowing much about this cat at all, he was slamming the Dolphins' new head coach, McDaniel, okay? Now, this guy has been the D coordinator for Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers for the last few years. He's got a PhD in history. He's definitely on the more bookwormish side of things than maybe, say, the Motor City Dan Campbells of the world in Detroit. But Cutsy just totally ripped this guy to shreds, and I know he knows close to nothing about this guy. Tell me why you think this about McDaniel, the new head coach of the Dolphins.
I have nothing against this guy personally, okay? But this man is not head coach material. First of all, here's my point, okay? As an offensive coordinator, he's up in the skybox. He's got no interaction on the field with the players during the game. It looks like he's playing Tetris in between the freaking plays. He's celebrating. He's very, very on the spectrum, Tick. Now, I know he's funny when he talked in the post games. I've watched some of his.
He's hilarious.
He's funny. He's quirky. But, dude, this guy, I don't think he could curl a 5-pound dumbbell. He is not a football aficionado. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I hope he does really well. Here's my thing. I don't know how in any way in the world this man can gain the residence and focus of NFL elite athletes. Like, I don't know how he's going to, like, I could be wrong. In no way, shape, or form do I see him having any kind of, like, position where he can get the most out of these players to the point where they respect him. I mean, he's a bookworm, dude. He's a little pipsqueak dork.
Read a couple of the quotes from our group chat that Cutsy wrote yesterday. Quote unquote, Dolphins go sub 500 with this Dorcas McGee at the helm next year. Quote unquote, he's a dweeb. Quote unquote, he's the guy that stays at home and plays Minecraft for 6 hours straight in his basement.
I mean, do you think he doesn't? I mean, I Ticket was not happy with that last comment. But listen, I think as a coach, you have to have pizzazz. You have to have some kind of motivational speaking ability. You have to be... you have to resonate with the players. They have to respect you. They have to look at you as like the leader of their tribe. This guy is not an alpha male.
They might be able to respect his brilliant football mind. I mean, I think that's a lot of what Bill Belichick is, and I'm not by any means saying that he's the next Bill Belichick, but I am saying that he is not necessarily a physically intimidating guy.
It's not about being
the rah-rah guy. Though. You know, he's a brilliant defensive and football mind. And that captivated the locker room. And I think this guy, if he's going to be successful, is going to be going down a similar path as Bill Belichick, winning the locker room over in that way.
I find it hard pressed to compare this McDaniel cat to fucking Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is old school football. This guy is no fucks given. You don't mess around. He's the kind of guy, like, a running back would fumble the ball, he wouldn't get another touch the rest of the game. Next man up. So this McDaniel is the complete opposite. He's like the happy-go-lucky.
We don't know yet. We don't know.
I don't see. He might be I don't see him throwing a tantrum on the sideline and fucking making him do suicides.
Tantrum. He's gonna be. He's a class act. This guy's gonna be a class act.
I could be wrong. I hope he does well. I don't ever wish anybody in any ill harm unless you're on my shit list, and he's not. I mean, he did beat me with the fucking. By the way, this guy didn't coach exactly a whirlwind of a game to beat the Packers. The offensive, I think their offense had like 100 yards of total yards between rushing and passing in the first half of the entire game. They were abysmal.
He's the D coordinator, though.
No, I thought he was the offensive coordinator.
Oh, that's a bad look for the sportsman if I'm wrong about that. I thought he was the defensive coordinator.
Hey, Siri.
Yeah, Siri.
Was Mike McDaniel the offensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers? Siri's taking some time to think about this.
Guard, Neil Barker. Guard.
I mean, Siri is off. She gives me the Jacksonville Saint Gamecocks.
Such a specific question. Ask her, what was Mike McDaniel for the San Francisco 49ers?
That's what I just did.
You said, was he the offensive coordinator? That's I was complicated for the lady. For you got to help her out a little bit.
Okay, let's see where he was here. Offensive coordinator, San Francisco 49ers. Man.
That's a horrible look. It's a horrible look.
He was always, he was, if I'm looking back now, he was started out as, it said Denver Broncos 2005. It just says intern. But a man moving up the ranks. Then he moved up to the Houston Texans for 2 years as the offensive assistant, whatever that is. And then he went to the Sacramento Mountain Lions as their running back coach for a year.
Sure
came
did.
Back to the Redskins, offensive assistant, then became the wide receivers coach, then went to the Browns, was a wide receivers coach there, then went to the Atlanta Falcons in 2015, was offensive assistant, went to the Niners in 2017, was the run game coordinator for 3 years, and only last year became the offensive coordinator. Of the Niners.
He's a man about town. He's been around, and he everyone always talks about.
I mean, how do you think he's defense?
He got that PhD in history from like Harvard or something. He's kind of like the Jonah Hill character in Moneyball.
Yes, I mean, yes. But do you think Jonah Hill could run the coach? He needed Brad Pitt to help put his system in place, and even then, it barely worked. And Brad Pitt's the biggest stud of all time.
Yeah, this cat needs a Brad Pitt. And Kyle Shanahan was his Brad Pitt. You know?
Now he's got no Brad to the pit.
Yeah. BP. Yeah, well,
that's my concern. And Ticket, listen, I will be the first to tip my cap to you if it works out. But
I mean, I'm cheering for this guy for all the wrong reasons. Here I am. What a terrible look. Calling him the defensive coordinator. Shame on me. Shame on me. I should have known that.
Well, you know what, Ticket? You're still a little bit over the moon with this.
I'm hungover
this
on the
Simmons
Sixers.
Thing. I mean, you're not really thinking.
My cup runneth over with the Sixers and their success. All righty. Well, it's getting talk about long in the tooth. Let's move on here to the Super Bowl. We finally are here with the main event of the season. Exciting stuff. Choose an angle here, Cutsy. We can talk about betting. We can talk about who we like. We can talk about anything you want.
Who do you think wins?
Well, you just want to talk about burying the lead here, huh? I think the Rams win. I think the Rams win. I really do. I love Joe Burrow. And boy, what an exciting cat. I mean, this guy's going to be – he's going to win 4 or 5 Super Bowls. I have no doubt about that. I just don't think this is his year. And I'm a little biased. I'm a huge Matt Stafford guy. I want it for him. I think Burrow's winning a ton. I just don't think it's this year. I think in L.A., I think Stafford – they can win in so many different ways. The Bengals can really only win one way.
You are a big, big Stafford guy.
I'm a huge Stafford guy, and I want it for him. And so I have to admit that I have that slight biasy, but I just think that the Rams, like I said, can win in so many different ways. And if the defense comes at them like they've been at everyone this offseason or this postseason, I think Burrow's going to be running it for his life. And I think it's going to be really tough for him to pull it off. What do you think? Who do you think's winning this thing?
I do think the Rams are going to win. I do think it's going to be a close game, though.
Me too.
Like, I don't think it's going to be like a two touchdown game. I think that the Bengals, they're very resilient. Like, they, you know, we saw that in, you know, the game against the Chiefs. They could have easily rolled over and died. I think the Chiefs are every bit as good as anybody in the league. And if they can come back from almost, you know, they were down at one point, almost what, 17 points, and come back and just really, you know, just completely change the game and change the script of that game, I think they can hang tight. I think the Rams win. I think it's like a 4 or 5 point game. I probably tease it if I do anything. By the way, the teaser in for the NFL playoffs, I think, is the way to go. I've been very successful, especially if you do like a now this is a one game, so I could only probably tease it with a two team teaser with the over under and then the team. But like these other rounds, I do the 4 team teaser ticket. I'm getting 10 points. 10 points in the
I know
NFL.
I don't know how you're getting such good odds. My book doesn't have anywhere near those kinds of odds with the
10 points is such a lock in the NFL, especially between these close games. So I'll probably do a two game teaser. I'll probably bring it up to like, if I could get the Bengals to about a touchdown, I'd feel very, very good with that.
I like the Bengals right there at +3.5. I think the Rams are going to win by a field goal. This is how I see the game going. The best thing that the Bengals have going for them is the Bengals love to make a comeback, and the Rams love to go up huge and throw everything they've worked for away. That's exactly what the Rams do.
Yeah.
The Rams first half, easy. I think they go up 2 touchdowns, no doubt.
Whoa!
And then the Bengals march. on the shoulders and on the back of Mr. Joseph Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. And I think they make an epic comeback. It's going to be just like every game this postseason. It's going to be incredible down to the wire. But I do think Matt Gay kicks a field goal. They win by 3 points. We hit Bengals +3.5. It's going to be a game for the ages. And Joe Burrow is going to lose this one, but he's got a long, great career ahead of him as long as this offensive line doesn't get him killed.
Now, what do you say if Burrow wins?
What do I say if Burrow wins?
Yeah.
I'll be very excited. I mean, this is great. I sometimes there's a team in that I'm like, oh God, I hope that fucking guy doesn't win. Like Mahomes again. You know, I kind of like him, but I don't want to see him win again. This, I really don't mind. Obviously, I'd love to see my guy Stafford win. But if Burrow won, I'd be equally as happy because this kid is just a fucking firecracker. I love watching him play football, and it'll only add to that swagger and arrogance that's currently working for him. I'd love it. I'd absolutely love it. I mean, would you not want to see one of these teams win, or how do you feel?
No, I really have nothing against either of these teams.
Yeah, it's exciting.
A lot of people are anti-Rams because of Stafford's wife being annoying and also because of OBJ. I actually like Stafford, being from the NFC North, being a Packers fan.
Wait, yeah. So walk me through this Stafford's wife thing. What's the deal with her?
She's really annoying. She goes on, she's got a podcast. She goes on, runs her mouth about all this shit. Have you not listened to any of this stuff?
She's on Connolly's network, right?
Yeah. She's terrible, dude.
Yeah. The only thing I know about her other than, she's got that podcast, but I don't listen to it at all.
Oh, you're doing yourself a favor.
Didn't she get in some terrible accident and like she had to learn how to walk again or something?
No, she had cancer.
Okay, yeah.
So her story's really good, but she's just been running her mouth a lot lately, and who am I to say anything? I mean, but I also, the OBJ thing is, a lot of people don't like him. They don't want him to win. Personally, I don't love Stafford as much as you do, but I do respect the fact that he was in for years a decade long graveyard of NFL team with the Lions. That there's just no winning. I mean, you're a Lions supporter in your own way, but there's just no winning in that franchise, and it was sad to see, because I really respect him. He never complained. He always showed up. He always gave 110%. He never ever just folded. Like, he always tried to win games. And I respect that. I think he's got a real, you know, a real tenacity to him. I think he's got a heart of a lion. And, you know, if he wins, I'd be happy for him. That being said, the Bengals, I mean, it's kind of hard not to want to see the Bengals win. I mean, here's a franchise that just has not won. They hadn't even been in the playoffs taken like 30, 31, 32 years.
The last time they went to the Super Bowl, Chris Collinsworth was on the team.
I mean, dude, this is a team that it's hard to, like, it's like when the Cubs went to the World Series. Like, regardless of whether or not you cheered for them, you just, you had to know that their fan base has gone through it for like 100 years before they won. I was like, you know what? That's a feel good story. So to me, I really don't have any, I'm impartial. Whoever wins, I just hope it's a good game. I hope I benefit from it. I hope I make some good prop bets and I hit the game. But yeah, I think it'll be fun regardless. I really do.
Yeah, I think another reason a lot of people sort of jump on this Rams hate bandwagon thing is just the way they sort of took the Yankees approach. Let's just buy everything under the sun, sell all our assets. And, you know, who needs a farm system when you have money?
I wouldn't mind if the fucking Packers had done that, sister, if they had taken that approach and brought in a couple more pieces. Maybe we'd be there. I mean, Lord knows we're right there and we should have an opportunity.
But the reason you guys have had such long, steady success as opposed to high peaks and low valleys is that you don't do that. You know, you trust your draft, you trust your front office.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. It's not a, it's
2011. You fucking won one. What are you talking about? You're not going to make me feel bad.
We should have won like three or four, Tick.
All roads lead back to the Packers. I'm not going to this watering hole with you. Okay? I'm not doing it.
All I'm saying is enjoy this moment in the sun with the Sixers because I hope to God they pay you off and they don't do what the fucking Packers did to me and rip your heart out. I'm cheering. I'm rooting for you, Ticket. I really am. And I think you got a legitimate shot.
So lock me in with your official Super Bowl pick. No teasers, no nothing. Oh. Just what it is. What do you like? What are you taking?
If I can't tease or anything, I would say Rams money line.
Is the safest
play. And then you know what? You dabble in a ton of game time props. Bet the color of the super or of the Gatorade for the Super Bowl.
Bet on
all this fun shit and just make it an enjoyable game. You know what I mean? There's too much in the field, I think, that you can take that I think you just focus on just on the spread of the game. You know what I mean? I think you sprinkle in a lot of other things. I think actually what we said, the Rams first half. Whatever that spread is, it's got to be probably what? -1.5, if the game is -3.5. I think that that's definitely the play to. I would take the Rams first half and then the Rams money line for the game. And then just sprinkle in. If you're taking the points, I think I think the Bengals is a play to take the points. I don't know.
Yeah, I like this line's been bouncing around everywhere between 3.5 to 4.5. As long as it stays above 3, I like the Bengals. So right now it's at 3.5. I'll take Bengals 3.5. But like you said, I mean, the Super Bowl is great because of all the crazy fucking prop bets you can take. So I love the anthem and, you know, the over-under 2.5 minutes or whatever the fuck that thing always is at. It's unbelievable how long that fucking thing is. Yeah, the Gatorade, the cleat colors, you know, all this different crazy shit. I love doing that. I'll be in on that. One thing I will add is Cooper Kupp's, because of how fucking insane he's been playing, all of his props are ridiculous. Huge. I like the under on receiving yards. I think he gets about right 110. It's at like 130, 135. I like the under.
The Bengals
on that
secondary
sucker.
Is pretty terrible, but yeah. No, yeah. I don't mind that play.
I like the under on a lot of Cooper Kupp stats. But yeah, I mean,
take the over. If we're talking about that, take the over and whatever the OBJ props are, because I'll be honest, I haven't seen what it is, but I've been taking the over. He's getting disrespected. He's
big
his
time.
His stat line for the, do you know his over under for the Niners game was 50.5 yards?
Yeah, I think telling us this.
He had like 70 something yards by halftime or by the third quarter. I mean, I just think that that's such a lock. So yeah, I think that's a play. This is Super Bowl comes and goes once a year. There's never really a game where you can bet that many different options and that many different props and who scores first. I mean, there's so many different things that you can bet on. I think you dabble in that and have a little fun with it.
Yep. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this year of betting the Super Bowl, betting football. We're going to have to find a new thing to do for the betting segment.
There's plenty to do. We got golf back. We got March Madness around that court ticket.
March Madness is going to be huge.
March Madness ticket is arguably the best ticket that you could ever
get. It's my bread and butter. bread and butter. Last year,
a little biscuit there.
A little biscuit for the boy.
Yeah. And then you got Masters coming up. Then you're going to have NBA playoffs. Then you're going to go to NHL playoffs.
Yep.
I think, and then baseball at some point, who knows, at some point.
It could be maybe taking the year off. Who knows? But we'll get into that later. I
would not lose a minute of sleep. I really wouldn't. I could care less.
Cutsy betting baseball is one of the worst things.
It doesn't happen. I'll be like, take the Reds +1.5 tonight. He's like, what? Fucking they're down 4 in the second inning. I'm like, and it's, by the way, this is the thing with baseball. When you're losing a bet, it is the worst thing to watch when you're down. Because for them to score runs, like the progression of the game, like the buildup that it takes to get runs in is so fucking long and tedious, dude. It's like, oh, we got a base hit. And then there's a double play, and all of a sudden you're one out away from the inning out, or some guy pops out to left field. It's like, God, it's so hard to like root when you're losing in baseball. It's terrible.
You're better off burning your money than taking a baseball pick. This guy despises baseball. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the Sportsman this week. Another one in the can, another one in the books. Always fun with you, buddy. It's great. It's the highlight of my week, seeing you and talking sports and just shooting the shit, especially as while I'm not in LA, you know, but, all right, man, why don't you take us out here?
No, dude, another fun episode. Super Bowl, everybody, have a great weekend. You know, it's sad a little bit, you know, the Super Bowl is fun to celebrate with friends, but it also means now we are so far away from football coming back.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long haul. The good news is, you know, the weather's getting better. There's golf on the horizon. There's a lot to be excited about. And I think March Madness for us is going to be just incredible time for the podcast and just in general. So it is sad. It's with a heavy heart. We see the NFL season come to an end. That is one of the main topics we like to discuss, but lots coming up and ticket. I think now with this Harden coming over to the Sixers, I think we are going to have to keep a very close eye on that moving forward, my friend.
Oh, he's coming home. He's coming home, baby.
Coming home.
He's coming home. This is where he always should have been.
All right. We love you. Thanks for listening. And ticket, we gotta start focusing, I think, in the next few episodes, maybe getting a Q&A segment going.
Oh, yeah. We got to do the questions.
We gotta make it happen.
I always forget until this is over. Fuck.
I know.
All right, we'll do the questions next week because we keep getting them, and we're gonna stop getting them.
There's been some good ones. We got to start bringing them on.
There's been some good ones. All right. Well, that's gonna do it for the Sportsman. Till next week, everybody. Love you, man.
Love you, buddy.